Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's on page 128 of the Pew Bibles. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, by your Spirit, fill our hearts with thankfulness and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. During the week, somebody asked me a question a bit like this. How do you maintain your Christian faith in a prosperous country and a materialistic culture? I think it's a good question. I think it's fair to say this is our context in Australia. That's not to say there aren't economic challenges out there, and I know that some of you individually do it quite tough. But on a worldwide scale and measured across history, we live in a very prosperous land. And we live in a society which places a very high value on material possessions, on accumulating wealth, thinking which creeps into the church as well. So how do we keep our faith in this context? Because our text today reminds us that this is the sort of context where one can so easily forget God, forget his goodness, forget what God has done for us, forget our reliance on God. And so in the face of this tendency to forget, we are called to remember. To remember the Lord, and especially to remember by giving thanks. This is why this fits with what we're celebrating today, Harvest Thanksgiving. And we'll return to this later on. So this is our theme for today, our tendency to forget and the call to remember. First, let's consider this caution about spiritual forgetfulness. We all know that forgetfulness is a general part of everyday life, isn't it? And we know the dangers of forgetting important things. So I'll give you a couple examples. One is my friend who was leaving for work one morning. He had breakfast and the normal chit-chat with his wife. He went to leave for work just like any other day, only to hear words which made his heart sink as he walked out the door. Have a good day, honey. Oh, and happy anniversary. He had forgotten. That's a true story of a real friend, by the way, not a friend. That forgetfulness was significant for him for a while there. Or take a bigger example like Anzac Day. What's that haunting refrain that we leave hanging in the silence? Lest we forget. As the younger generations move further away in time from the great world wars, there's a feeling in our society that we need to be careful to remember and not to forget. And what we are taught in Deuteronomy today is that there's a very similar but infinitely more serious dynamic in our lives with God. So let's look at this more closely in our text. As we said, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. And the key thing to remember in this book is that the people of Israel are finally about to enter the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they're at the edge of the land. They can see it, they can smell it, they can taste it. And this book of Deuteronomy is about preparing them to enter. It's a book of transition, if you like, from the nomadic and scarce way of life in the wilderness to the settled and abundant life in the land. And our text highlights this abundance that is promised. Remember, this is a generation that literally grew up in the desert. And now, as they're about to enter the land, this is what they're promised. Flowing streams, springs, underground waters welling up in the valleys. And then there's the food. People who have been surviving in the desert on manna and quail provided by God, now they're promised a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive trees and honey. These are mouth-watering promises. They must have longed for this, hoped for this, looked forward to it with so much expectation. And notice it's in this context that the Lord, through Moses, speaks a word of caution, a word of warning. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God. Don't forget. This is perhaps an unexpected word. We know there were challenges in the wilderness, that the people grumbled against God. They struggled to trust God. They were tempted to give up on God. But now they're being brought into the land of plenty. We could think that there wouldn't be as many problems in their relationship to God. But on the contrary, in the land of plenty, there would be a new temptation, or at least an old temptation taking a new shape. That of pride. The temptation to think, in the words of our text, that my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth. And so the word of caution, do not forget. Friends, I think this is such a relevant word to us today. So often I've noticed in my own life this spiritual forgetfulness which creeps in. I'll give you an example. I can't ever remember a time in my life when I woke up one day and decided, well, I think I'm going to have a break from praying for a while. I've had enough for now. I'm going to take a few weeks off. It's just never happened. However, many, many times in my life, all of a sudden I've realized, gee, I haven't prayed for a while, have I? In fact, when was the last time I prayed? I can't even remember. It can't have been that long, but what's happened? I've just forgot. This spiritual forgetfulness sort of creeps in unaware. It's not that I stop believing, it's more a case of simply forgetting God. And we are especially reminded today that wealth and material prosperity can be a potent source of this spiritual forgetfulness. This should give us pause. Perhaps we could ask this question. What are we more afraid of in life? That we won't have enough money, or that we'll have too much? I think for most of us, the fear is that we won't have enough, of course. It's a natural human fear. But as we read the scriptures in texts like today, it seems God's warnings are so much more often about when we have too much. He says that's when we are led to spiritual pride. That's when we can forget God. So take care that you do not forget the Lord your God. This has been echoed through history by many people. The great Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn looked at the tragedies in his nation and around the world in last century, and when asked why all this had happened, simply said, "Men have forgotten God." Further back on another continent, Abraham Lincoln spoke similar words. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth and power as no other nation has grown. but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Wow. If he said that back then, what would he say to us today? Can't his words be so easily adapted to our own time? More recently, this has all been expressed succinctly and somewhat crassly by the one and only Bart Simpson. When on one episode of The Simpsons, he was asked to say grace at the family table, and it went like this. Dear God, we bought all this stuff, so thanks for nothing. How easily we forget. This is the first part for today, this caution, this warning against forgetting the Lord. But now we need to turn to the call to remember him. Because we haven't yet answered our question about maintaining our faith in a prosperous land and a materialistic culture. So far, we've just established the truth of how important that question is. Now we need to move on to the answer, the antidote, if you like, which is simply the call to remember. But the obvious question is, what does it mean to remember? Or better, what does remembering actually look like? Because in modern English, we can hear these sorts of words, forget and remember, as just mental acts. As if God is only concerned with what's going on in our heads. But that's not how the Bible uses these words. In the Bible, forgetting and remembering are always connected with what you say and do. You don't just remember with your brain, but with your hands and your lips. Which fits much better with real life, by the way. If you think back to my friend who didn't wish his wife a happy anniversary or get her anything, it wouldn't have done him much good to say, "Oh, I remembered, I didn't forget, it was in my head. I just didn't do anything about it." It doesn't work, does it? We know that to truly remember is to speak and act. And what we see in our text today, and in the scriptures more broadly, is that we remember God and his goodness by recalling what he's done and giving him thanks. Thanksgiving is what this looks like. Thanksgiving is remembering being acted out. You see this in the text. Moses doesn't just say, remember, and that's it. But he also tells them what they are to remember. He recalls and recites what God has done. He says, don't forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of slavery, who led you through the wilderness, who gave you water and manna. He gives them the content of what they are to remember and then calls them to praise and thank him for it. So it is for us. We remember what the Lord has done, that he has created you and all that exists, that he has given you your body and soul, your mind and senses, and he still takes care of them. That he provides all you need from day to day. That he protects you from danger. And that even more, he has saved and redeemed you. You were not in captivity in Egypt, but you were in a far worse slavery. Slavery to sin, death, and the devil, and God has sent his Son out of love for you. To live for you, to die for you, to rise again for you. And he has sent you his Holy Spirit to give you the gift of faith, to trust in Jesus and so receive eternal life. This is God's goodness and grace to you, and it is to lead us to thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for all this goodness and grace to us. And as we give thanks, as we develop habits of thanksgiving, we are guarded against forgetting the Lord. And so let's finish today by thinking about a few practical ways this can take shape in our lives. The first and most obvious one is right in front of our eyes. We celebrate today Harvest Thanksgiving. Why do we do this? This is a concrete way of remembering and not forgetting. We take this Sunday once a year to stop, to remember all the food we gather from the earth and that it is from the Lord. We remember that our pantries and fridges aren't full because we've worked so hard and because we've been so clever to earn the money to buy it. But instead, we give thanks to God that everything we have is from Him, that it's all because of His goodness. And so simply participating in this celebration is a very practical way to remember God's goodness and so guard against forgetting Him. Let's think about how this flows over into our home lives. As we talked about with the kids, something as simple as praying at mealtimes, giving thanks, saying grace. This fundamental habit of the Christian faith is something which helps us not to forget. This habit which follows the pattern of Jesus Himself, pausing before each meal and after each meal to say a prayer of thanksgiving. There's no rules about this, of course, as to what words we have to use. We have different customs here. It could be a simple verse from the Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, for this food, for life and health and every good thing. You have your own customs passed down in the family. Martin Luther has other prayers in his catechism. Even though this is such a fundamental habit of the Christian life, I think it's worth returning to again and again. Because it's so easy to forget. And so the encouragement today is if you have grown forgetful in this habit, to remember it again. To give thanks at your meals, to teach your children to do this. And if you're already in good habits with this, to be encouraged in it. Because something as simple as giving thanks at our meals over years and years cultivates gratitude in us and so guards us against forgetting the Lord. And then finally, there's one last thing to mention, which we do as Christians, which really does bring this all together. And this is the meal not at home, but the meal at church. The meal of remembrance and thanksgiving. The Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Where we hear these words. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who took bread, and when He had given thanks, who took the cup, and when He had given thanks. And He said, do this in remembrance of Me. In Holy Communion, we receive God's blessing, we remember, and we give thanks. And notice that Jesus Himself leads us in thanksgiving, so that we aren't left on our own in this. But we join together with Jesus in His thanks to the Father on our behalf. He's the chief giver of thanks, even as He is at the same time the greatest gift to give thanks for. In Holy Communion, we give thanks, not only for what happened in the past, but for what is happening right now. That right here in this meal, Jesus is present with his body and blood, with forgiveness, life and salvation. And so we remember and we give thanks. So how do you maintain your Christian faith in a prosperous country and a materialistic culture? We join with Jesus by the power of the Spirit in thanksgiving to the Father. We give thanks at all times and in all places, for that is fitting and right and for our lasting good. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.